Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for the leadership to take a chance on me. it's just my first time to serve you, and what a privilege it is, really. We are so blessed to have been members of New Gen now for almost 2.5 years, and it's been a slow transition into Cape Town. We're originally from Roodepoort. Diane was actually raised in Roodepoort. I'm from Durban, Durbanite. But we met in Roodepoort, and that's where we raised our daughter, Bernice. And, so God called us to missions, or to the mission field, in 2008, where we served him in Burundi for about 5.5 years, and then through that mission landed up in Stellenbosch. So just a brief background. So this morning, folk, if we can have the first slide, Devin. Please, he's such a blessing, always taking care of everything for us. We're going to look at stuck between a rock and a hard place. I looked for another title, but this is the only title that was apt that I could actually see from the passage that we are going to look at today. And if you can have that picture up, I don't know if the picture will show it nicely now. Yeah. If I look at this sheep, this little guy is stuck. I think he'll agree with me. Where to go? What to do? He's just overwhelmed with, whoa, how did I get here? And if I think, just over the last week, I think a lot of us can ask ourselves the same question in South Africa on so many different levels. We have actually just come out of a series called Affluenza. And basically, I think most of us would have been challenged with the series. And some of us may be in a eventual situation, because how do we obey what we have received over the last couple of weeks? And maybe you feel like you're stuck in a place which is between a rock and a hard place. Maybe you're in a difficult relationship at the moment. I don't know. I don't know what it is. God knows what we are going through. And so I want us to turn this morning to God's word and seek encouragement out of it. And so I want to read actually from the Psalms this morning. But before I want to just jump into a little bit of the background of the psalm we're going to read. So when we read the psalm, we have an understanding of what David was actually on about. You know, I'm sure he felt like a sheep on this rock. So let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And I'm just going to paraphrase. I'm not going to read anything big this morning in terms of the background. But here is a time where David is not yet king. This is, in fact, just after the time when he defeated Goliath. And he was in a high rank in Saul's army. And this was a time when he had great success. In verse 7 and 8, even the woman was singing after David, saying, "Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So he had great victory. In verse 10, King Saul actually hated David. He was jealous of him. He wanted to actually kill him. And if you continue to read this chapter, you will actually see that King Saul just set up different things, like a battle that he sent David into, hopefully getting killed in this battle. So you have to remember, King Saul was continuously disobedient and was jealous of David's victory. And David finds himself between a rock and a hard place. I think you will agree with me. Here is King Saul. He's God's anointed. Yet, it is David's enemy. And so this morning we're going to read Psalm 5. And we're going to get a glimpse of this frustration David had to deal with. So let us read Psalm 5, if you can turn there. Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King, my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I through the abundance of your steadfast love will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their inward self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Look, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Amen. So we see in Psalm 5, there's quite a contrast with David's relationship to God and David's view of his enemies. David finds himself in a very difficult place, like I said. So maybe today, like I said, you are finding yourself in the same space. But what we have to know is that we cannot always control what is happening to us. We cannot control what is happening everywhere else. But we can control how we respond. And so this morning, I want us to go into the psalm and discover how did David respond to this very difficult situation. And I want to cover it in 4 points. The first point is, respond in expectant prayer to God. In verse 1, David prays to God. In fact, he doesn't just pray, he cries out to God. What are we going to do in Bloemfontein? Crying out to God. And he cries out with this passion. And this is why biblical poetry is so amazing, because we find the hardcore emotions of people being displayed. And it's okay to cry to God. It's okay. We forget that King Jesus was a man as well. So he understands what we are going through. He understands the sufferings we have to face. In verse 2, David prays to God as his king, his savior. Yeah, it's very evident that he calls God king. So David was in a right relationship with God. And it is very true for us in the new covenant through Jesus Christ, that through his crucifixion, his death and resurrection, we can also come into right relationship with God. In Romans 10 verse 11, it says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So this is the starting point of this prayer, is acknowledging your right relationship with God. It is out of this relationship with God that David approaches God with his cry. In verse 3, he says, he waits on God, resting in his presence. You see, David trusts and depends on God and knows that God will answer him. That is the power of prayer, an expectation that God will answer. I want to tell you a little story. This is what happened in Burundi. It was actually such a significant time in our life. Now often you go on missions and you think, oh, I'm going to bless those people. Oh, they're going to be so blessed because I'm coming, you know. But actually, it's not about the blessing you carry to them. It's what God's changing in you and your heart. And so We had this missionary couple from Norway who visited us from another town in Bujumbura. We stayed in Pitega, which is about 100 kilometers away. And I remember distinctly them coming for a couple of days to visit us. And the wife, Jane, was pregnant with their first baby. And she showed all the signs of malaria. I even did a test on her, and the test was positive. She has malaria. It's late at night. She's already going into hot and cold sweats. I knew the writing is on the wall. She's got malaria, and we need to get her to hospital. But they didn't want to just go to the local hospital because they had certain anti-malaria drugs. But this was another 100 k's back. And we didn't want to do this trip at night. So Jane asked, she said, "Can you just pray for me, please?" And I was this doubting Thomas, I believe in prayer, but okay, let us pray for you. But you should really go to the hospital. And she says, "No, just pray for me, Anton, just pray for me." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, Lord." So we just pray for her, we laid on hands on her. And she went to bed. And the next morning she woke up completely healed, completely. I kid you not. I was still in my doubting Thomas mindset. And I said, "Well, that's great, you're feeling much better, but let's actually just go and test and make sure." Because you know, when you've done a malaria test and it's positive, you are positive. You can't be negative. You will remain positive. But it is possible that you have a negative result and there may be, and you are positive. But it can't be the other way around. And so, off we go. We get the test and it was negative. Just another example for me how God answers prayer. Really, when you are stuck in a place between a rock and a hard place. Prayer is a discipline all believers should invest time in. We should invest in that time, guys. We need to grow spiritually. Now, how do we grow spiritually? You know, when we I've referred again to the series we had about affluenza, but here we got some great understanding of what the Word of God is saying about giving. Now, the natural response is to obey. But if you only understand the message, but you don't apply it, you're not obedient to it, you are not growing spiritually. You are stuck. So spiritual maturity comes together when you understand the scripture and you apply it, you are obedient to it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that actually leads us through that. And if you're not having conversation with the Lord, if you're not daily having a conversation with Him, how is that going to happen? You know, I love Mac computers. And if you have a MacBook and you have another MacBook and you want to transfer the information, it's actually so simple. You just need to plug in what they call a fire wire. And you will transfer literally the data in lightning speed. Huh? For me, that's so amazing. But that is me just how the Holy Spirit is. You know, you connect with, and it's immediate. Your connection, wherever you are, wherever you can connect with God there. So, 2 weeks ago or so, when Paul was preaching, he mentioned of when he gave money to a church and happy with how the money was spent. Do you remember that? And then said he had this conversation with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit corrected him. You see, this may sound weird to you, but this is how a relationship works with God. He speaks to us. He speaks to His people. It's only through this natural growth. In fact, it is natural to grow spiritually. But it's very unnatural not to grow spiritually. It's no use saying, "I have followed the Lord for 20 years or 50 years. But is it 50 years of growth? Or are you the same Christian as you were in the first year? Communication with God is the key to growing your relationship with Him. So we get to the next point, which is respond in worship. In verse 7 in our psalm, David has reverence for God because he knew he was undeserving of God's gracious love. Well, I don't know if you felt that, but through the whole worship, it was just love, love, love. Love is the only thing that's going to overcome. There's only nothing else. You may have the greatest army, you may have the greatest amount of finance, but love is what's going to overcome. David's worship was not based on his feelings, guys. Come on, and ladies. But on his reverence for a righteous, merciful God. You know, like that sheep, if he can speak and pray, he must be feeling, well, I don't know, what do I do? It's not based on your feeling. It's not based on the place where you are. It's based on the place where you are going. Are we not in the same boat? Huh? Undeserving of God's radical generosity, as we heard JB was preaching last week. That just touched my heart afresh. God's radical generosity through Jesus Christ. He's given it us, everything. If you've got the Son, you've got everything. God is worthy to be praised and worshipped. So in verse 8, quickly, David trusted God's direction. He trusted Him. That's why I asked the Lord to lead him. So we need to learn to move, to walk, and to run in faith. Again, a little story, just sorry, a little story in Burundi. You see, this traveling I spoke about between Bujumbura and Gitega, it's a huge mountain pass, but there's no speed limits there, you know. So often you will find trucks and buses and whatever going off the mountain, crashing and all the people dying, and petrol trucks overturning, because guys are just gunning it down the mountain. And often, every single time, and we set off from wherever we were traveling, we were praying and asking God, Lord, bless us and lead us and protect us. And I remember distinctly this one day, I was coming up the mountain, and I heard the voice clearly say to me, Anton, stop. It wasn't even like I had to think about it or meditate about it. I just immediately pulled off and stopped. And I promise you, folks, as I stopped, a truck came on a 90-degree turn. There was no way for me to see that truck. And he was going at such a speed. I almost said hell was behind him, but he came at such a speed that he just missed me. But if we weren't obedient, friends, I would not be standing in front of you today. I would not. I guarantee that. And so we have many of these little stories where God just, He looks out for us. So He's worthy to be worshipped. Now, the third point, respond in right living. In verse 9, we see a huge contrast here. In verse 9, David says, their throat is an open grave. Here's like a metaphor, where the mouth is likened to a grave. In other words, the words, the speech that was coming out of this enemy of his was actually death. They were speaking death. And it reveals who they are. So your speech reveals who you are. The speech of the wicked reveals the evil in them. And it's by our behavior people will know us. So by the fruit of a tree, we will know what kind of tree it is. It's the same thing. So today we have a lot of different hate speech on Facebook and all different things. But we have to guard our mouths. And we have to focus on right living. In verse 10, God will punish the wicked. Here's a big warning. A warning for everybody who is not in right relationship with God. David responds by handing the wicked over to God to deal with. He doesn't make his own plan. You know, this is what I'm going to do. This is my strategy. No. He says, I'm handing this enemy over to God. And we see the same principle applied by Paul when he also handed people over For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, he hands over two specific people. He hands them over to Satan. And you see, so the point is that he doesn't try and sort that situation out. He allows God to sort them out. So the example I can give you here, and this one backfired on me a little bit, was when I was a young Christian, we were staying in Riddleford. Like I said, I worked in Sandton, so it's an hour and a half drive. Those of you that know that area, traffic is hectic in the mornings and evenings. But I had one problem, man. And my problem was taxis, you know. Taxis always, they don't obey the rules of the road, and they're just all over the show and frustrating me. And so I was cursing them, and I realized I shouldn't be cursing them. I should be praying to God to sort them out. And so I did. I said, Lord, sort these taxis out. And immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, Anton, I want you to bless them. I was like, what, Lord? Bless them? Okay, Lord. And I started to bless them. And as I blessed them, my heart changed. And I was able to pray over each taxi as they were coming in front of me. And so God changed my heart. So handing over to God is what we should do. And then the final point, respond in joy. Oh, what a wonderful song we sang earlier on. Verse 11, let all who take refuge in you rejoice, he said. So, from a personal perspective, we need to submit our life to God. Our will, our finances, our time, our families, everything. We need to hand it over to God. Our struggles will become God's struggle. So the story, I want to give you a little story just, and this is actually a whole sermon on its own. But the final day, we took about 3 years to prepare to move or relocate to Burundi. And you know, when you're talking about what God is going to do, it's easy. You're casting vision, you're using scripture. This is what God's going to do. Hallelujah, amen, and everybody's happy. And we're all excited. But when the rubber hits the road, that's my resignation. For almost 18 years. That is when you realize, hang on, I have to put my life into God's hands. It's Him. He's going to take care of us. And it was so amazing because, just on a financial perspective, because now it's easy in church to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because you're getting a salary every month. And He's providing, yes, hallelujah. But when you give your resignation, and you know from next month there's not going to be that payment, what now? So I was again this doubting Thomas, checking every day the bank account. There's something, right, thank you Lord, praise God. And so after 6 months doing this, God said, are you kidding? Because I am providing for you, can you see that? Thank you Lord. So how do we respond to others? Because now in a personal way, we have to respond with joy, putting it in God's hand, knowing He's going to take control of it. But how do we respond to others? We have to display love to others. We have to display, bring them to church, bring them to our small groups. Be the love to them which they are not receiving. And then the righteous aren't made righteous by their words, you know. It says here, the righteous are those who trust the Lord and love His name. So, but their righteousness is evident in their words, and they rejoice. They shout with joy, and they are joyful in the Lord. And finally, in verse 12, it says, cover him with favor as with a shield. Again, a beautiful simile of a shield. A shield was used in war to protect your whole body. This is how God's grace protects believers all over, right around. That's where God is. God protected us from malaria for 5.5 years. We didn't have malaria once. Our clothes, I felt like I was an Israelite. Our clothes lasted for 5.5 years. How is that possible? It sounds funny, but I've seen it. I've seen the hand of God. But believers, we have a destiny. We have a future, an eternal hope, which should define how we live today. We should stop looking, eternity is coming, heaven is coming. No, we live already in heaven. We've already got a place there. We should look back at our life here and say, Lord, how should I live my life knowing where I'm going? Amen? That's living with a destiny. We have a destiny, guys. What we're going through here, this life, it's a short time according to eternity. It's a dot on the line of eternity. We are just, this is a tent, man. I'm not saying don't go to gym. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is a tent. So whatever can be done to this is going to stay here. Amen. My final comment, the key lesson for us today is to remain dependent on God, our King. Then we will have the right response in difficult times. Amen. Let us pray. Father, this morning, we are mindful of the fact, Father, that we are nothing without you, Lord. We are so dependent on you, Father. Many of us are sitting here, and although we are sitting quietly, inside of us we are crying, Lord. We are crying, we are crying, we are crying. And Lord, we are needing to, and some of us maybe need to come in right relationship with you, Lord. And maybe there is someone here, I don't know. Maybe you are sitting here and you know you're not in a right relationship with God right now. But this is your opportunity today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you feel this is what you need to do, you need to come in a right relationship with God. I want you to take time after we've prayed and come forward, and Ollie will be here and some leaders will be here to pray with you. And just to take you into this next step. And then I want to pray for everyone else. Lord, this morning, we are like David. We are calling out to you, Lord, because you are the only one we can call out to. And we know, Lord, that our lives, our future, our destiny, everything is in your hands, Lord. And so, Lord, this morning we cry out to you for our country. We cry out to you for our families. We cry out to you for our relationships. Whatever that thing may be, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will go and our response will be a deeper relationship with you, Lord. That we will not run away from you, but run to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will run to you in our quiet times. Lord, that we will run to you in every situation, Lord, Father. Because truly our joy is sealed in your hands. It is. And so, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, Father, that you are the one that is revealing this to us today, just afresh, Lord. And so, Lord, if we're not going through a storm now, I know there will be a future storm. But thank you, Lord, that through every storm we become stronger because we are trusting you more and more and more and more. And so I pray that for today, Lord, Father, that you will come and strengthen us in our areas of our relationship with you, that we may have the right response, Father, to all these difficult situations we are going through, Father. We pray this in your mighty, mighty name, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.